What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Hello and welcome to the Over Underachievers. I'm one of your hosts, Max McCoy, and joining me as always, he promises not to put his iPhone in rice anymore. It's Jason Waterfalls. Did you hear about this?
Why would somebody promise to not put their iPhone in rice?
Because Apple said stop.
That's, oh, for real?
Bad. Don't do that anymore. Right. They were like, if you drop your phone in the toilet, which I feel like probably, what is that? Probably like 90% of what we're talking about when iPhones get wet, you know?
It could also fall in the sink when you're doing dishes and get wet that way. I mean, are we at a state now where these devices, you know, were water resistant, waterproof? You know, there's commercials for Samsung, whatever, dropping them in fish tanks, bringing them back out. Maybe it's like the dust of the rice is worse than one drop left of wetness in the device.
No, you know what? And to what you're saying, I feel so much like Clint Eastwood on his lawn right now, because I'm like, I know you're telling me that this iPhone could like have been on the Titanic and I could pull it up today and it would still work because of whatever, how it protects against water. I just don't believe it. I just, even my Apple Watch, I'm not getting that. I don't wear that in the shower. I'm not getting that like under the sink. If it's a light sprinkle outside, I'm covering up my wrist. I just don't believe these people when it comes to electronics and water, because maybe it's like primitive Cro-Magnon man wiring, just like water and electronics, they don't mix to me. So I'm just not going to be the one like to find out that I was wrong. I was misinformed on that, you know?
You don't wear your watch in the shower or the pool or anything. It's meant for swimming.
I know it is. And that's what they tell me, but I don't believe them. I just don't believe it, because if I'm a little wrong or if I misinterpreted it, or if it's like it can withstand a sneeze, not like a cannonball into your pool, then I'm having to deal with that, right? Not Steve Jobs.
Well, remember when I was off the Isle of Capri, my Apple Watch did break when I was swimming just off the Isle of Capri. So, there's your evidence right there.
Yeah, held up at the Champs-Élysées. It fell in the island of Capri. I'm sure those are close in distance to each other in proximity. No, Apple's like, don't do that anymore. And people are like, what's this about? What's this new weird attitude? And they're like, I don't know. Rice can get in like the, I don't know how else to say this, rice can get in the holes, so you don't want that. But, so they brought a problem. They didn't bring a solution. So people are like, what should we do? And they're like, I don't know. Don't put a Q-tip in it. Don't do a hairdryer, but just maybe don't drop it in water, and that'll fix it. And I'm a little frustrated with Apple for all the different cables I got to have, for all the different chargers I got to have.
It's all going USB-C. What's the problem? What cables? What dongles do you need? Everything's wireless.
I know, but they don't give you an outlet sometimes. My son's phone requires a different kind of charger cable than mine does. And
get a new one. That's on you, not him.
It's not. It is, but it's not. But it's also like, I understand the upsell of like, I'm going to make you buy everything, every accessory. And this phone case, you know, back in the day used to be $20. Now it's $60. And I'm not sure that it does anything different. I hate this electronic world that we're in. I really told Ashley, I was like, I feel like such an idiot, but I just want a flip phone. I just want a flip phone. I want a flip phone. Not for any, like, I'm not, it's not like arrogance or it's like technological reliance supremacy. I just don't want to deal with all this, you know?
But you don't have to. Even Andrew Luck has a smartphone now. And if you know if Andrew Luck has a smartphone now, then you are okay to have one.
I'm so close to becoming a person who is very off the grid, wears the same clothes every day, does not have a smartphone. You don't even understand the precipice, how thin the line is between me being pushed over it. Honestly, if DraftKings, if I could like snail mail my DraftKings bets in, it'd be over. It would be over right now. You know?
And you know what else? You're going to have a giant cable bundle from the cable company out there in the woods.
Like, I can't reinvent everything at one time. You know, I still got to have some things, right?
No, I'm saying you're going to cancel YouTube TV and get the cable bundle and also have Dish Network
run it
or
back.
Something.
Just run it back, you know. Jason, man, what's good? How we doing?
Doing great, man. Went to the All-Star Weekend practice over the weekend, and I'll get into that a little bit. But that was fun. And just seeing the festivities that were here in Indianapolis, obviously that game and everything's just been crapped on, but it was fun having that in Indianapolis and going down and being a part of it. So we really enjoyed it. The kids really enjoyed it. And it was fun. It's not, I understand that the weekend is not what it used to be, but I still really enjoy it, man. I really do. So that's kind of like the big thing that I'm coming off of from over the weekend.
You know, I didn't know I was in Indianapolis until you texted me a picture that you were at it. And I was like, huh, did he fly? Like, I've just talked to him. Oh, okay, gotcha. So that was a nice surprise. I thought that's a good fit for it. I also knew that it wasn't in San Francisco. And probably won't be in San Francisco in the near future because of Charles Barkley. I will say some of the.
I think there was San Francisco next year.
Is it really? Is that why he's talking about it?
Yeah.
I don't know if Charles and Kenny were trying to like just make drama, like if they're kind of like doing a Sports Housewives thing of just like making some drama where there doesn't need to be. I'm not gonna say good job. I'm just gonna say you did make drama though. Like that was an interesting take on some of those opinions. So
I think that's what they normally do on their show every week. I think that this was just had more eyeballs because it was All-Star Weekend, and maybe Kenny didn't need to say what he said, and maybe Charles is just constantly creating that chaos. So Charles just always escapes out of everything. He's like the last, it's like grandfathered in or whatever, which is actually more patriarchal than ever when you think about it. But he's like grandfathered in. He can kind of, he's like uncancelable in a way.
Almost. He really is.
But, you know, he's just a delight. When he told Draymond took a dig at him and then on the alt cast for the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And then Charles said, hey, Draymond, somebody was asked, you know, I don't remember the exact thing, but somebody was asking about you the other day to me. And he was like, oh yeah, who? And he was like, nobody. Gotcha.
Like, so is that good. Even count as like a burn? Because like,
yes!
It's, I feel like that's a honeypot? I looped you in to this thing that you just, it was almost like a knock, knock joke. You know,
I know, but did you see Draymond's face in the clip? He got.
He did, because he did think he was being spoken about, which he probably was. No, have I told you my favorite knock knock joke that I heard?
Am I gonna have to edit it out?
No, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Okay.
So knock knock.
Who's there?
Yoda lady. Say it back.
Yoda lady who?
Please stop yodeling. Please stop yodeling. I think that was from Schitt's Creek. I think it was Alexa. I don't know if that was her in character.
It was her with Dan Levy.
Yeah,
outside of character. Yeah,
so that's good stuff, man. That's a good solid dad knock knock joke. That's what I'm here for. You know, I don't want your smartphones that may or may not be able to exist in water. I don't want your city commentary, Charles Barkley. I just want good knock knock jokes. That's what I'm here for. Well, you brought up All Star Weekend. Let's go ahead and get into it, and let's talk about some. I want to do a Star Sit Cut really quick, and then I want to get to the meat of the episode, which is a Survivor contestant preview, because there is a lot to talk about. So we've got Start, Sit, Cut. We've got All-Star Weekend. We've got the, College Football Playoff Board of Managers, just announced the tweak to the format. It's going to be, I guess, call it the 5+7, format, which is going to ensure conference champions, get into the mix. And Bridget Mendler, that's who I want to start, sit, cut here today. Do you have any strong feelings, on any of those things?
Let's go to Bridget first, because this is like everywhere and I have no idea who this person is.
Okay, great. I'm glad, because she is who I want to start this week, because Bridget Mendler, she was a former Disney Channel, you know, like there are different eras, right? Like in the NBA, there's like, this was the Jordan era. And then this was like the Kobe era, LeBron era. I think Disney, like main Disney girls, that's kind of an era thing of like, who's the star of Disney Channel. And she's, I don't know what the order of operations was, but it was Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, Bridget Mendler. They were all kind of in the group together. And I think she came after that run of dominance, and she's just a very chill, kind of cool person. She was on, I think she did Lemonade Mouth. She was a little bit on Wizards Waverly Place, and she was on.
I know Wizards. What is this? There's something called Lemonade Mouth.
It was like a decom, right? So I don't think it was very good necessarily, but it was kind of a biggest deal. But most of all, she was on Good Luck Charlie. She did some like stuff on NBC and ABC. And I think she showed up on Nashville, but Good Luck Charlie. She was like Teddy Duncan. We rewatched that a ton of times. Marlo loves it. And then, you know, she did some music and then she kind of disappeared. And I don't know if it was like 2017-ish, something like that. She goes to MIT. She gets her PhD. She goes to Harvard Law School. And now she's the reason she's in the news is she's the CEO and co-founder of a satellite data startup. Basically, she's like, I fell in love with space law. Her startup is like about building a data highway between Earth and space with satellites and things like that. I can pretend I understand what this is, but I don't. I just know it's like space stuff in space and information. And I just want to start this because this is amazing. I feel like just because you're on Disney doesn't mean like you have to, you know, be like Beans from Even Stevens, or like you have to make like weird cameos on later Disney shows. Like you can be a CEO of a company I don't even understand, and good for her, you know?
I think taking a shot at Beans there is grossly inappropriate. I mean,
I'm sorry, Beans. That was my fault.
He was working on that show, for the record.
Beans was cooking so hard. It's not his
Beans
fault.
Beans was cooking.
The Hollywood apparatus couldn't support what he was bringing to the table, you know? It really is. But I'm happy for her. I'm happy for Teddy Duncan. I'm happy that there can be good stories of kids who were movie stars who just turn out to be like it's seemingly functional adults, you know?
Yeah. And shout out to them, because everything that I saw online in various timelines or, you know, links are like, what are you going to add to your resume next? And it was like all about Bridget or whatever. And it's just like, is there anybody actually taking shots at her? Not, let's not look that up. So it seems like no. So that's great.
Sure.
And yeah. And you just kind of go from there, because now she's going to be CEO of this space satellite company after being on the Disney Channel. That's awesome.
And it's not even like you have to become a CEO of a technology company I don't understand. It just seems like she did things she was interested in and then chased her interest.
Exactly.
And then yeah. That's the cool part. And maybe your interest is like cooking beans, or maybe your name is Beans and you just want to cook theatrically. Whatever that is, chase it. Run it down. Don't feel like you got to be something. I'm just happy for her. You know, I feel like that's really good. So I'm going to start that. I'm going to sit All-Star Weekend, but not for the reasons you might think, because I do feel like there's been a discourse, I don't know, overreaction of like the game sucks. And it's like, yeah, it sucks. It's kind of always sucked a little bit. Everyone likes to talk about in the 80s and 90s. It was amazing. It was fine. It was fine. The only problem I had with this game was Dame Lillard took way too many threes, honestly. And as someone
right
who had,
in freaking Tyrese Halliburton's face.
Look, and the reason it's not a full cut is because credit to you, because you dropped some real winning bets that I just got to tail, and I just got to cash money. So credit to you. You really had the your finger on the pulse of like what was going on All-Star Weekend.
I absolutely did not. I lost my big one because I took the under. I took an alt under.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that was your fault. I told you it was a losing bet, and I was like, I just have to do it because
no,
I'm doing it.
No, you but said, are we doing under or over this year, right? And I was just like, man, what if, because I went to the practice and the West came out and they were just standing around shooting, messing with each other. Luka and Joker were absolutely hilarious the entire time. And they basically just had fun and they would put clocks up on the scoreboard because I think they were supposed to do like set stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't do, the West didn't do any of that stuff.
They weren't doing drill work? That's so weird.
The East immediately came out and did like the three-man weave thing. And they were doing set plays on both sides of the court with Doc Rivers just screaming at all of them. And I was just like, okay, what if they're going to take this super seriously? Then what turns out in the game that they did tried to take it seriously. And for whatever's going on with Doc and Milwaukee and all of his nonsense in press conferences, I'm not even going to get into like the JJ Redick, Austin Rivers of it all, but
yeah.
Doc, I don't know what his plan is right now. And he was running set plays in All-Star practice. It was crazy.
Having been there for 2 weeks, which is amazing. And I love that Dame immediately was like, cool, cool. I'm just going to jack up threes when I get across half court. So I don't know how the factors in your playbook. I didn't tie myself to the under. So, you know, I'm not going to say that's your fault, not mine, but I just wanted to say good job by you for helping me win some money. But I think I think the 3-on-3 is interesting. I think the dunk contest kind of sucks, to be honest with you. I like the Sabrina versus Steph. I thought that was clever skills challenge. There's some roadway to make this work. You know, I'm not going to completely be out on it. I think it's just fun to celebrate a sports weekend, but it is weird that the NFL and the NBA have bad All-Star weekends. It's strange that that's the case, you know?
Bad is relative, for the record, being somebody that likes both of the weekends. I do think there are tweaks available, but here's the thing. Would I rather them not do tug of war and do nothing in the NFL Pro Bowl games? No, I'd rather them do that. Would I rather them not show Puka Nacua on a wakeboard being pulled and then catching a pass from Jimmy Clausen. I have a lot of Jimmy Clausen takes, okay? I've been holding those back because I just don't want to put that into the atmosphere or the ethos.
Well, you
got
to go behind the paywall to get that, guys. That's the good stuff.
No, that's, listen, that's at home with a scotch and a cigar, okay? But the fact that Jimmy Clausen was throwing to Puka Nacua and then David Njoku was doing flips to catch a ball at some resort, and these were like pre-tape segments. They are trying things. I don't understand what the big uproar is. It's either,
that's what I'm saying. Let's give them some space, guys. Let's give them some space to try some stuff. It's okay.
Like beans. Just let them cook.
Yeah. Just let them, let beans cook and let them cook. Let everyone cook is basically what we're trying to say. In terms of cut this week, I want to cut the 5-7 format change.
Okay.
Not because I think it's actually a good idea. I think everyone's heart is in the right place. I'm just saying this doesn't fix anything. Everyone's still going to be pissed about something. They're going to be upset. You know, you brought into our text thread when we were talking about this, you brought that Notre Dame, this means like Notre Dame can't get into the upper echelon because they are an independent school.
Which is a choice they're making. I brought it in as a proactive. I already know what the discourse is going to be in this chat thread. I was proactive and I said, Notre Dame has nothing to complain about because they choose to not go to a conference.
That's right. That's right. I think my counter was, my counter was, this is insane to get upset. Not you, someone else we were talking about. This is insane to get upset that if Notre Dame finishes number one, they won't be in the top five seeds because that's just not happening. Right. And I said, parentheses, no offense. So I said, I'm not trying to offend you, Jason. I'm just trying to explain this because it might not even be a temporary tattoo bet. I might tattoo bet you that Notre Dame will not finish the season number one overall in the next three. I might even go 5 years. Like, I feel very confident saying
that's not a tattoo, but that's pretty likely to happen. That's very difficult to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So credit
because
to
Notre
for
Dame,
being brave
because Notre Dame plays a real schedule. So
I'm just kidding.
I'm not dying on that hill. I think that Notre Dame is going to get into the playoff more than they're not going to get into the playoff with this format.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially because they don't have to go to a conference championship game and most of their games are against the ACC, but then they don't have to play in that conference championship. So as a Notre Dame fan, I like the format. I also believe, and now this is what I'm a little bit confused about, and I don't know if you're as read up because I'm hearing conflicting things and I've just not read every single article, but this 5-7, what's the fifth of the five? So it's Big Ten, mm-hmm. SEC, ACC, Big 12, and if the Pac-12 can get their life together, is that correct?
I don't think so. I think I don't know the Pac-12 of it all. I feel like that's everyone kind of just agrees that's going to float away. I think that the fifth one is they're calling it the highest ranked group of five conference champion. So they have some latitude there, but it's like Cincinnati or a Liberty or something like that. They get like the lottery ticket.
Okay, so it's called 5-7 because it was proposed before the Pac-12 just absolutely fell apart.
Yes.
So that was going to be the fifth. And now that fifth, it's really 4-8, but it's 4-1-7. If this is not confusing,
I was told there was not going to be math. So I agree or I disagree with whatever you're saying or doing. But yeah, the fundamental principle is, like, I think Andre brought in their text thread. This means like Pitt's going to win the ACC and win the right to have a snuff film done about their matchup with Georgia in the playoff. And it's like, is that good for anybody? Do we want that? Is that good for Pat Narduzzi? I don't know that it is.
I think it's all kind of crazy because like, if you're one of those top four, you don't get that. You skip the first round and you don't get a playoff game at home. That's a disadvantage. And Andre's been talking about that for a while, regardless of the format. Like if you are really good and you're in the top four, you don't get a playoff game at home. That's kind of crazy.
You know,
in the first round, you don't get as many.
I think if the NCAA like was legit and wanted us to respect them, I think they should do like, it's going to be a 5-7 format. And for the first 4 years, if Florida State wins the ACC, they're not going to get in just because we don't like the way they sassed us and the way they acted. And until they like formally apologize, they're not going to get in the playoff. So ball's in your court, Florida State.
But which goes to the Pitt thing. Like if Pitt gets through the ACC and is the winner and they either beat Clemson or Florida State or they beat them in the regular season, like those are not crappy programs when we're now at a 12 team playoff, meaning Clemson and Florida State. So if Pitt gets in, I'm not going to have any complaint about that. I think the craziest part of all of this is if you don't get that first round bye and you're not in the top four, let's say you're in Notre Dame, you have to win four games in this playoff, in a 12-team playoff. You have to win four games to win the championship. That's a lot of extra football for these student athletes that we are very dedicated and committed to making sure that their schooling is okay, that their mentals are okay, that their body health is okay, that their spiritual is okay. That's a lot of extra football all of a sudden.
This is the invariable tipping point is going to be, because of that kind of extra football, there's going to be a lot of injuries. So we're going to be like a national championship with third string quarterbacks playing, and we're all going to be like, this is too much. Let's go back to two. There's only two that we'll pick. And it's just going to keep like,
yeah, it's going to be Florida playing. State getting in, and then Jordan Travis getting hurt in the first game because they were the five seed and they hosted the first round, whatever, at home. Then he gets hurt, and then Rotemaker. Was it
Baker, Big Baker Maker? Yeah, was it Buttermaker? Rookie? Buttermaker. You're talking about
the Little Big Bad League or Bad News.
Yeah. Walter Matthau was Buttermaker. Walter Matthau. I don't know if that's the name, but it's what it sounded like. Yeah. God, that's a good movie. Would you have felt different about Jordan Travis if he was named Travis Jordan? I would have.
Less, right?
Yeah. It's not fair. It's not fair at all. But I was just being like, ooh, don't know about him. I don't know if I like him.
Jordan Travis is a strong name. It's a country singer as well.
It is. It's a good, solid quarterback name.
Travis. Randy Travis' son, Jordan Travis.
I don't know if Randy Travis is like good stuff, you know, so you might want to disavow. I don't know like he's in like good standing, culturally speaking. He might be, but I'm just saying he feels like 30%, maybe 70%, probably not, like he did something. So,
I'm not going to name names here, but I got to bring this up. Baby Billy Bayless has been on to me lately.
Yeah.
If somebody has one negative article about them, but it's in the New York Post, and it's more than likely true, okay? I'm not arguing that. And I'm not going to name names of who this is. But the article is in the New York Post, and it's damning. You know what I mean? It's not great. Do you disavow that person? If there's no result of guilty. But it's probably
just allegations, just tough.
Yeah,
this is a great question because it's a conversation about like, what's the line of like, I cannot go with you any longer. You know, what's the a lot of it is like the crime or whatever, you know, the thing that you did. But you've also brought the New York Post, which is kind of a dubious publication, right? Like it's definitely got a affiliation with a certain ideology, right? So it's like, if that's in that paper, do I believe in what's going on there? I don't know. I probably need some like double sourcing, triple sourcing in that respect. I think if what you did makes it to like your Wikipedia scandals section, I think that's a good rule of thumb. That's what I kind of go by. You know, if there's like multiple scholarly discourse about this bad thing you did, then I really got to consider that.
Well, I'll have to look that up. That's got to be the instant second checkpoint. But disavow Randy Travis if he did anything bad. Yeah, I mean, I feel safe saying that, not knowing anything about Randy Travis. But probably
also, sorry, Jordan Travis. We didn't mean to suggest that you are related to Randy Travis, unless he is. Wouldn't that be crazy if he was? And he's like, that's just Uncle Randy, just doing Uncle Randy things, you know?
Have you seen the pictures going around about like how make me feel old with all the like...
Yes.
People's
yes.
kids.
Like Frank Gore's son is about to be drafted or whatever. And I'm just like, I can't live in this world right now. This is insane.
Determination comes in many forms, but always starts with a Dunkin' run. So take your medium or larger coffee in one hand and grab a dollar donut in the other. No matter how you run, Dunkin' run. A $1 donut with any medium or larger coffee. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Okay, let's go to the main part of the episode. Let's do overachieving, underachieving with these Survivor contestants. I want to preview some of these people because I'm so excited Survivor is back. It feels early to be back, honestly. Like it jumped up on me, you know.
What do you mean? I've been aching for this.
I guess I just
the Traitors only makes this like the Traitors only makes me stare at February 28th more than ever.
You know, I guess I thought it was like March or April. When we would get back into this, like I haven't looked into this, but it feels like just like a little earlier, which I'm okay with. I'm just saying I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't in like regular season shape, right? Like in mental shape to like recap the show and talk about it, but I'll get there. I'm like Shaq, I'll play myself into shape, you know, as we go.
Carp said that he's going to watch this season. He's not going to badmouth Survivor anymore.
Okay. He's going to like, He didn't say that,
but I'm manifesting it. You know what
you're
I mean?
Baiting him. You're baiting him. Okay.
Yeah, like yeah, maybe just stopping in the comments saying how he doesn't like Survivor when everybody else does. Like, I don't know. Get on board. I don't know. It's up to you.
I think
his choice.
Yeah, that I mean that's true.
But like I think he's going to watch, and I think he's going to love this year.
You always have so much optimism with the new year, and I don't know if I don't, or I don't know if you make that choice, and I'm like, well, I have to be the other side. I have to have pessimism. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. But like you said, February 28th starts at 8 Eastern. It's a 2-hour episode. I think the first 2 weeks are 2-hour episodes. And then they're going back to the 90-minute runtime, which I'm glad they're adopting. I think I'm into. I feel like they use.
I got to tell you, the staff that they have, videographers, editors. If they take away the 90 minutes at this point, then it better be like a 3-week, every an hour a week for 3 weeks is equivalent to one episode in the past. They cannot go back to 60 minutes anymore. I don't know about this 2-hour thing for multiple weeks, but the 90 minutes has allowed for them. It is a very I know I said this last year and I'll try to stop saying it, but I'm also like letting people know it's a very gorgeous show to watch. It is edited. It is shot and edited. It's shot and edited better than freaking Madam Web. Jamie was talking about it. Multiple people have been talking about it. There's freaking boom mics in the shots. There's no boom mics. This is a reality show and there's no boom mics in the shots. Like that's insane.
I feel like if there are multiple boom mics in the shot, you have to like add in some like dialogue later and it's like, man, I can't believe this film crew's following us around. Weird, right? You know, and you just explain it away. So it's like you've got an answer for that. No, but I completely agree. It's not like one of these janky weirdo reality TV shows. I even think Traitors to an extent. Like it's not necessarily, I don't know that they're as capable. It's just Scotland is so beautiful and like so it looks
traitor. Like,
it's they have the big ginger who's probably named Fergus. Don't know if that's true, but he looks like a Fergus who opens the gates, lights the torches and everything. Scotland is a good template. I think Fiji is a good template. Also, they do a really good job shooting it. I like the 2-hour episodes for the first 2 weeks. I think you're trying to get your hands around so many people and understand who's who. So I like that they're going to give us more time with that. You mentioned the cast. I think the best way to talk about this is like through the prism of we'll go like contestants we like we'll call them overachieving contestants. We'll go underachieving and then maybe some wild cards and we'll wrap with like, maybe we'll pick three that we think are going to win. So when you looked at this list, who jumped out at you as an overachieving contestant?
As far as overachieving, I'm going with Charlie Davis. The name, first of all.
But okay.
I don't know of a time where I've ever heard of a Charlie on a reality show. And I think that that bodes well for Charlie. Okay. And then the Hawaiian shirt in Fiji. Great hair. I'm hoping. Okay, this is a law student from Boston, Massachusetts, just like our guy last year, right? Uh-huh. I'm hoping there is a heavy accent here with Charlie. That is what I'm hoping for.
Oh man, I do feel like it should be a prerequisite. There needs to be a heavily Bostonian contestant
every
single season until you prove otherwise. You know, you commented on his hair. I'm not going to say I disagree with you. I'm going to say some people have different opinions on that. Here are my issues with him.
He has Field Yates hair. That's elite hair.
There's a fine line between Colin Jost hair, which is top of the line, right?
Oh, really?
It's top shelf.
You're going to go a different direction with that.
No, it feels almost like God given, but also very manicured. This guy's hair just feels like God given. Like that feels like his first grade. The class picture, like it doesn't feel like he has to do any maintenance on this. He just wakes up and poof, it's a wall like that. You know what I mean?
Blessing
I had some
issues.
He said that his favorite hobbies are running, debating, and board games. And he did use a parenthetical. He said running, parentheses, capital S, serious, competitive running. That made me put him in the underachieving column.
Because then he said board games. And if you say board games and you do physical activity, boom, you're a winner. That's two things. That's physical and mental right there.
Look, I've said this. I don't know that I'm proud of it, but it's true. I'm not a board games guy. I don't respect board games.
Respect not winning during board games.
No, I roll a dice and I move forward and this is all, there's no skill based here. Like this doesn't make sense.
What games are you playing?
Chutes and Ladders, my man.
No, like, there's no skill there. Correct.
It's a board game.
I agree.
It's a board game. You either
so is Monopoly.
I like chess. There's some good stuff there. You know, I don't like cards. I don't, it's just like, like I can do other
euchre?
Things.
Euchre's incredible.
I don't know what that is. I don't want to know. I don't care. You know, whatever. But he did say, he injured his sacrum because he runs so serious and competitive. Do you know what a sacrum is? I have no idea what a sacrum is. That's too close to scrotum to say publicly and not say sacrum, you know, the bone by your knee or whatever, you know?
Is it not the scrotum?
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm a look. The sacrum is a triangular bone in the lower back formed from fused vertebrae and situated between the two hip bones of the... It's just... That's such an obnoxious thing to specify. If he'd said coccyx, I'm like, okay, everyone's made the joke. I understand what that is. But to be like, I got a hairline fracture in my sacrum. We're all going to think scrotum. Did he intend that? There's even like on Google, people also ask, what's the difference between a coccyx and a sacrum? And it's just like, you see what I'm saying? Like this is a person who's giving me too much detail in a way that I don't want the detail, right?
Well, how do you split your sacrum while running? How hard are you landing? I feel like we need to change this man's gait.
Now,
you like what I did there? I used a running term, gait.
That was good. That was really good. I think you're still confusing scrotum injuries with sacrum injuries because you said split the sacrum. No one said that. That's not in the text. He said, I just injured my sacrum. But you're worried
that
he
split. You
just
said it a minute ago.
No. He injured his sacrum, right? Okay. That's the text. So I just think for that reason, for what we're talking about, I don't like this guy. Also, I just don't think, you know, let's just say what it is. I don't feel like we're in that white guy winning era on Survivor. So, and that's okay. I just don't think this is the guy to do it. You know, this isn't the guy to break through.
I can't believe we've spent so much time on Charlie. I think this might be our favorite player. You're on one side and I'm on the other side.
Okay. Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I feel confident with my takes. You know, I'm good with it. I've got one of my overachieving contestants, Jess Chong.
Yes.
And I love her. She's probably going to be in my final three. The fact that she types 140 words per minute, not sure if that's good, bad. I think it'd be hilarious if it was bad. I'm sure that's good, but I think that's a hilarious thing to put on a Survivor profile.
It's the best thing. First of all, it tells what her age is, and she's a couple years younger than us, and that means that she did keyboard class in that's middle school or high school like we did, right? But also, power stance. The picture is incredible. The wind pushing her hair back is incredible. The outfit being, what is it? Tiger print, I guess?
Tiger print blue. Like tiger print blue. You're exactly right.
Is incredible. Putting your words per minute in your article that you know already is going on entertainmentweekly.com, EW.com, that is a power move. And this is a power player. And I'm a little bit nervous that Jess is going to come in a little bit hot because of the power stance. So maybe she plays it smart and holds back for a few weeks, hopefully. But I really, this is definitely an overachieving for me as well. So we agree on this one.
Man, great call on the power stance. You know, I've perceived it, but I didn't call attention to it. And that's such a good part of what she's bringing to the table. Even like just some of the details, she calls herself empathetic, tenacious, smart, social butterfly. These are good words for Survivor. It will shock you if you go through the profiles, how many people fail this and like say things that are at odds, like with the game of Survivor. She also footnoted herself when it was name three of your favorite hobbies. She did like asterisk footnote and then like, you know, the EW format isn't conducive to footnotes. I don't want to explain that to anybody. But I like that she would just try that. But also she says she played rugby in college and she's an identical twin. This is someone I want to win, right? I want to root for.
And as an identical twin, maybe we get Jamie behind Jess Chong as well.
Right. Might get her aligned with that. So I think that's good. Who else you got? Overachieving.
All right. So I am going to go with my man, Ben Katzman. Okay. I think that this is a time when a male that wears overalls and some kind of party shirt underneath it.
Oh, it's a Railroad Jack shirt. So I'm just, I feel
what's
like
a Railroad Jack shirt,
a gentleman who works on the railroad. You picked a big choo-choo boy, as someone who you think is going to win the season is what I'm saying.
No,
right now.
I said he's overachieving. He's got tigers on his shirt that is black and white striped. It seems right. Like it's some kind of like really special prison shirt that he like got to keep when he went home. And he's a musician. His name's Ben Katzman. He's from Miami. His adjectives, motivated, energized, passionate. I mean, I think that's the same thing. So I'm thinking we're going to love Ben when we get into the season.
This is a low floor, low ceiling guy, right? He's the classic low floor, low ceiling guy. He's not going to win. He might be entertaining. He's not going to last long. That's
what past survivor would you play the game most like? Cody? So this could be fun. Let's get Ben some caffeine in episode one and see what happens.
I don't know. I think Nick Wilson was before your time.
Yes.
I cannot emphasize to you enough. I'm trying to think. Let me put this into parlance that you'll understand. This would be like being like, who do you play quarterback like? And it would be like Josh Allen or late stage Dan Marino. Either one of those. It's such a contrast in styles. Nick Wilson was a lawyer from Kentucky, very straight-laced, not charismatic, and Cody was Cody. So I don't know that Ben understood this question. That's insane.
Or he understands this question perfectly, and then those are that's the range that he's going to play within.
I'll be stunned, and I'll just be I'm gonna be chewing away for Ben Katzman, insane. Let's see. I also had Kenzie Petty. I like Kenzie. She's got I cannot remember the girl's name from a couple seasons ago. She finished like top three. She had red hair, kind of a bougie, kind of a free spirit vibe. But I like that she talked about running a salon. And I like the skill set that goes into that, because you have to socially connect with your customers, also your workers, but you also have to be organized. You know, you have to be able to deal with big groups of people.
Just won? Not Yeah Yeah. What's his name? That just won. Jam Jam.
Who? Jam Jam.
Worked at a spa or a salon. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's a great point.
Cassidy. Cassidy was the other Cassidy. Person.
Thank you. That's exactly.
She's on the challenge. She's on the challenge now.
That's a great call. That's a great call for her. I'm happy for her. But she's described as resilient, resourceful, driven, self-sufficient, adventurous. I think that's a good skill set. I really like her. I
like that her hometown is in Michigan and she currently resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's Midwest and the South. I'm liking that as well.
Great cities. Gibraltar. I don't know anything about Gibraltar. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I have no clue. I was just trying to gas her up too, man. You know, she did like her favorite hobbies are jigsaw puzzles, fantasy romance novels, and playing cards. I don't know if that helps or hurts or if it's just nothing, but you know, it's just something to know.
Well, and then we have a plus and a minus here. Okay. And now this is not taking a shot at Marianne, but if your favorite player is Marianne, but then you say, what is something we would never know from looking at you is that I'm a savage in Catan.
Right.
But your favorite player is Marianne. I don't know if she's doing a rhyming thing there.
Maybe she was. That's kind of
like a Cody Marianne was thing. One of the most passive players, but you're a savage in Settlers of Catan. I think we've got a duality here that we're going to really enjoy on screen.
You know, I think the really interesting thing about these profiles is it's not really, and we've talked about this in the Bachelor, Bachelorette profiles too. It's not what people tell you. It's what they accidentally reveal and what they don't say. And I think who people identify with as like a former Survivor player, that's really telling, because it's going to tell you the strategy. Also, some contestants, I don't know if we'll get to them. Some just said like season 42, or some said like, you know, a bunch. And it's like, oh, you've never watched the show.
Do you honestly believe, like, since season, I don't know, 43, I'm trying to, you know, not go all the way back to the first season I watched at 41.
Sure.
Do you think that anybody goes on the show without watching it? I've not heard of anybody in the last few seasons. The last
there
four
used
seasons.
To be. There used to be.
I know,
a lot
but
more.
I think we're past that. We're like, again, part of this new age is like nobody goes on without watching it. I want to put people on it that have not seen it. This needs to be. We need to have a rural juror. Remember, yeah. Remember that? We need to have a rural juror season of Survivor where they find people and they don't even know what the show is about.
Look, if you just want to take all the people from Farmer Needs a Wife. Have you seen the promos for that?
Yeah.
You just take all those people and be like, yep, it's a show called Farmer Needs a Wife. Actually, it's Survivor. Good luck. that might be the best episode or season of TV ever, you know? Underachieving contestants.
I have a feeling we're going to have the same one.
Well, you hit Ben and Charlie for me. So that's two of mine. I've got two others.
That was one of your unders?
I don't think they're going to do well. Yeah. I feel very confident about that.
Well, okay. I mean, if we're doing over and underachieve as far as like win the season, that's a different thing here. But no, sure. I stick with mine. That is what we're doing. I understand. I'm going to tell you right now. When your name is David Jelinski.
Okay. Bingo.
I don't know. I have to be very clear. I want a full disclaimer on my take here. I don't know if Entertainment Weekly did this to him or if he did this to himself when he filled out the form, but the man's name is David Jelinski. And in between David and Jelinski, in quotes, is the name Jelinski. So on screen, it says David Jelinski with the nickname being just his last name. I don't think you have to nickname if somebody, you just want people to call you your last name.
Look, I don't have this on like on gospel account, but this is because he wants to be called Jelinski. Because this is like, as someone who, you know, I go by my middle name, my son goes by his middle name. When you go to the doctor, you get the full name and then you double quote, this is what you should call me because this is my name. And they still ignore you and don't do that anyway.
But you would just tell Entertainment Weekly that your name is Knox McCoy. This is not a legal document for Entertainment Weekly.
But if you wanted Entertainment Weekly to call me McCoy, I would say Knox McCoy, quote, McCoy. And that's what I want you to call me, which is what he's done here. Which is the big problem, right? This is the sin. He has said, here is my nickname you will call me. When you don't choose your nicknames, you are given your nicknames, right? He wants to be on the Cochrane kind of playing field of like, you know, Survivor infamy of this is how I'm referred to.
I will say
Jelinski is a good name to be shorthanded to, you know?
Oh, no doubt. If your name is David Jelinski, everybody's calling you Jelinski. That's my point. You don't need to quote that. We're just going to call you Jelinski. That's who you are now.
I don't know that we necessarily would. I might go DJ. I might go Davey. I don't know. It depends on your vibe, you know?
Here's the part that sells it. He is a slot machine salesman. This is going to be a fun time. It might not be a long time, but this is going to be a fun time.
There's so many things. He says, name three of your favorite hobbies. Okay. I'm going to name the hobbies he gives. Will you count for us? Okay. Again, three of your favorite hobbies: sports, basketball, bowling, trivia, puzzles, magic, card games, organization. That's not three. And those are,
I counted 42. He also said
organization is not what I would have thought.
How would your friends describe you? My closest friends would say that David Jelinski thinks he knows everything. He is too smart for his own good. That is third person and egotistical. This is my guy.
Listen, keep going. Growing up, he was a hothead and would argue with you until you gave in and told him he was right. But he has matured a lot over the years and understands we should concede in an argument. So when someone is food and sleep deprived, do I think he will regress to the mean of his personality? Yeah, I do. Now, the only saving grace will be if he can do close-up magic, this might be a game changer. We might have a Gabler situation here.
He's a Swiftie who can do close-up magic, and that is going to be incredible.
I can't tell if this guy's out in the first two episodes or if this is our season Gabler kind of guy.
I think Katzman might be more like Gabler, okay. But
yeah.
I think if Jelinski, excuse me, can keep it together, he could have a Cody run. But I'm going to bet that he doesn't make it halfway through the season. Would be my bet.
I think I agree with you. I want to toss in, let's see, I'm going to go Hunter McKnight. That is Apex level white guy name. And this is Apex level white guy because he looks a little bit like Chip Gaines's skeezy younger brother, you know, who's like, who just says the word MILF a lot and no one's comfortable with it. He is 28. He's from French Camp, Mississippi. He's a science teacher. That kind of had me for a second. I was like, ooh, science teacher. That's good stuff on Survivor, probably.
Yeah, and here comes an accent from Mississippi as well.
Which I'm into. Three of his favorite hobbies are building Survivor challenges, playing any sport, and camping. I don't love that. I don't love it for the game because I don't like when people come in and they're like, I 3D printed this and perfected it. I feel like that kind of violates what we're looking at. The biggest problem I had was... this guy wants to talk about how smart he is and his education and his scholarship. His, the risk he took in life was he left a full ride scholarship, and direct admission into medical school to teach in his hometown. Because it sounds like a Hallmark movie, honestly. And then biggest accomplishment he's proud of, made it through school without making anything below an A. He graduated college in 3.5 years. And something we wouldn't know by looking at you. He graduated 4.0 in college, graduated valedictorian at my high school. I feel like this is like, when you read 100 books in a year, it's like that wasn't for anything other than for you to say that because it doesn't do anything. You know, the act of doing it, it's good that you built the tools to do that, but it feels more like I did that to say I did it than like something long term, you know?
When there's three probing questions and your answer to all three of them is I read 100 books in a year or, you know, for the schooling in this manner, it's not that great. And then how would your friends describe you. I'm just going to pick the ones I want to. Bit odd, maybe a little arrogant. Like any of the positive ones are very short, and any and the other ones have to have caveats with them. A bit odd, maybe a little arrogant. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Not always fun to be around, you know. It's I see him as getting on people's nerves pretty quickly.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
All right, who else you got?
All right. This is kind of a backwards approach to an underachiever, because if this person underachieves, it's going to make me very, very sad. And that is Soda Thompson, because that is the greatest name on the freaking planet. And
God, what a great name.
This pulls back to the Jelinski. I don't know if her name, if her real name is Soda, or if that's what she told Entertainment Weekly. The point is, that's what she's going by, and I love it. I love having a Soda on Survivor. That's incredible. And she's from Long Island.
She was one I couldn't get a good read on of, like, are you going to be middle of the pack? Are you going to obviously be the winner? Are you going to be like not fit for this world and like quit out pretty fast? I have no idea. And her profile doesn't give me much. And I think usually that's a good sign when your profile doesn't like point me in a specific direction. I kind of like that. Like,
so that's why I'm picking as an underachiever, is because if she underachieves, I'm going to be bummed out. I think this is somebody that can go far.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to go. I'll go fast on this one. Jim, she calls herself a risk taker. The only issue I have is Jim is also the name of Jeremy Renner's character from The Town, and that didn't end well for him. So I feel like we might be in a similar situation, but I want to talk about Q, Burdette, just the letter Q
again,
Burdette.
What are you submitting? Is that your real name?
And you know what? I'm okay. Like, call yourself whatever you want on Survivor. I really don't care.
Of course.
I did have some problems with, when he's describing himself, something we wouldn't know by looking at you. I can eat two boxes of pizza in one sitting by myself, that I can swim, and I'm a joy to be around. Those are definitely things I wouldn't know by looking at you. I don't know that's the spirit of the question, you know? And also his shirt is unbuttoned down to the last two buttons.
As it should be.
I don't understand.
His body is choice, for the
record.
Just
go shirtless, man. Just go shirtless.
No, there's two buttons buttoned there.
Great looking guy. Great looking bod. Go ahead and take the shirt off.
Have you ever said the phrase box of pizza before in your life? That was my big red flag with Q. Big red flag. You don't eat a box of pizza.
It feels like what AI describes as a fun night, eating a box of pizza by myself in two sittings, you know?
But now you want to know the problem? It's the truth. That's what you do.
No, I always leave one, so I didn't eat the whole box of pizza, right?
Well, I know, but it still is a box of pizza, but we just never say it. So is Q on the breaking edge of phraseology? That's what we should be calling it, especially if you either complete it or don't complete it. It was a box of pizza. The box
when
of pizza
I eat
takeout,
I don't say like I ate a box of styrofoam of chicken and rice. You know, like I just don't want to get like hunkered down on the minutia of the carrier vessel of the food.
I know, right? But that's where the innovation is coming in. Nobody has ever gotten hunkered down on the carrier of the pizza. But you know what Q does? Q does it a little differently. Q gets hunkered down. That these are boxes of pizza.
This is the guy who's going to find idols. That's what I'm hearing from you right now.
That's what I'm hearing.
I feel like it's a good point. It's a good point. He does say he's one of 17 kids, which makes me think, okay.
Risks. And then he says, you have to take risks. And
I can function in big groups.
I don't know what that means. Being one of 17 kids, you have to take risks. That is an upbringing. I feel like he already played Survivor. You know what I mean?
Right. This is just like a bonus round. He's the one who said, what past Survivor would you play the game most like? Bits and pieces from lots of players. I know a question that hasn't been prepped when I see one, and that is this one.
That's like the fairest answer, but also like the answer we're going to rip apart the most.
Yeah, this is a profile. You got to give me a name, okay? Like, I understand that's what you're actually doing, but like, that's
what athlete are you most like? A basketball one and a baseball one, probably a soccer one, parts of a hockey one, all mixed into one.
Just all of them, but none of them, but singular, but also kind of multiple. Come on, Q. Like, do a little better than that. I didn't have any other underachievers. Did you have any other that you want to talk about?
No, I think this is a really good cast. Just by first looks, I appreciate where we're coming from some of these answers and the ability to sometimes put nothing out there, and sometimes by the time we watch the whole season, they're putting everything out there in these interviews. And I'm yet again excited for the season. I don't understand. I know you have this big history, and we have to establish this. We have to establish, doesn't have to be right now. It can be when we start recapping, but we have to establish, if you're going in with a willingness to have the full reset, or if you're still bummed by the new age, because I do think that this is going to, if you choose, this is going to be your last season to still be bummed about the new era of Survivor. We've got to move past it, but no, I've given you a lot of space and grace, credit to me.
Sure.
And so I just want to know when we're there, and you have, you're either there or you have this season, and then you have to be there. But as a friend,
I think, because I was looking at like who's won it in the past, and I was reminded, I feel like we had four or five that I didn't think deserved it, and that was the weird time. D last year deserved it. So I feel like clean slate now. Now we're back on track, right? Now okay, we're back in classic season.
And D is the person that's going to be on fire with Jeff Probst.
Oh, so, for real?
Replacing Rick Devens. And they knew that all along. It's not like Rick got cut. They were going to have a new player representing the player's point of view every single season. So
that's
this
such
season,
a great idea.
It's D. Yeah, I hope it's good, because Rick was really good. And D is, I'd say, well-spoken. But I don't know if, I just don't know if D's got like the audio podcasting, not voice, but like cadence and thought process of like, treat us like elementary kids sometimes, because we were not on, we were not on the island with you. We do want to know the ins and outs of what you're thinking. I think Rick did a great job with that, and I'm hoping for the same for D, because she played a fantastic game. So I'm excited about that. But okay, so you're admitting full reset. So, because you were talking about pessimism a minute ago, we've got to be going into this excited but reserved, because if it's a bad season, that doesn't mean all the other seasons were bad. And I don't think last year was a bad season. I know there's a lot of commentary about that, but I think that this, I think we're in the peak of this show. I'm not going to say from a competitor standpoint, but I think from a production, from an entertainment standpoint.
Yes. From the packaging, you're exactly right. In terms of the competitors,
post Hourglass, by the way, because I can see why you hated that, for the record, looking back.
Which, look, I don't mind swings, you know, and they corrected it, right? Yep. They're like, okay, this isn't working. So I'm good with that. There was a fire token season you didn't get to live through, which is like this currency that no one understood and no one ever used, but it was there and it was like the big part. But I am worried about contestants who are there, not either contestants who are overeducated on the game. So take some of the, I don't know, strategy nuance out of it, but also contestants who are just there to be kind of wild and crazy and are not equipped to be on the show. Those are the two forces kind of concerning me, but I'm moving on. I'm not holding previous seasons against it. I'm excited. There are two wild cards I wanted to, did you look at Tevin,
yes.
Davis? He was one I have down of like
two Davises very this season.
Yeah. He leads with like, I'm fashion. I'm charismatic. I act, but he also calls himself country. So I'm like, that's interesting. There's a multiplicity there.
Randy Moss vibe there, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. And I love a Randy Moss vibe.
Both.
I also
Virginia.
Wanted to get your take on Venus.
Yes.
Baffa.
Okay. That was going to be my last one. I think that this could be chaos. Remember the singer from last season that just never did anything. Didn't get much screen time either.
Yes. Yes.
What if this is what we thought that was going to be? Is the vibes I'm getting here. But then data analyst from Canada throws it all off for me. Then we go back to playing poker and making short films. This is all over the place.
She calls herself like a Regina George exterior, but she's secretly softy. Like this is one of those, sometimes this happens. I think I'm fascinated with contestants who, let's just be adults here. This is an extremely attractive contestant. And in previous seasons, extremely attractive or even like very charming contestants had their way with the cast. I don't know if it's
Excuse
the same
me?
Way anymore. Yeah, they could do whatever. Like Parvati, if you would go back and watch her seasons, she was so charming and gently manipulative that guys would be like, you want me to kill myself? Okay, like where? How? What would you think? What are we doing here?
I think Q is the best looking person in this cast. But for Venus liking Parvati and Ceree, that makes me That makes me kind of nervous, backing up what you're saying with maybe manipulation is a weapon that Venus is going to use. Venus, Vafa, like that's a strong, powerful name. That scares me.
It's a supervillain name. And I feel my only thing is I feel like of late, really attractive contestants have been like marginalized. Like people haven't said you're too hot, we got to get rid of you, but they've always been like ganged up on and gotten out pretty quick. So I'm really interested to see what this is. What
I think
version of
Venus
is.
And Q should both immediately get to the island and then just put mud all over their face. And then like, you know how the knees go to crap and everybody's is bitten up and bloody by the end of the season. Just get that going right away. Right.
Okay.
Play it down immediately.
What if
then
we
like mid season, you go in the water and you come out like James Bond, you know, James
coming
Bond.
Out of the ocean.
Yeah. Coming out of the
Casino
ocean.
Royale.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay. But then you put mud right back on your face and you dumb it down again. Like you give people glimpses of be careful here. You're
messing
like
this.
With fire.
We do like a Freddie Prinze Jr., Rachel Lee Cook, just put glasses on both of them. And they're like, oh, gross, disgusting. And then like once it gets to the final five, they take them off and they're like, oh no, they're hot. And then it's like a game changer. I think that's good.
I honestly, this is going to be kind of like whatever, but I never understood that with Clark Kent. I would watch Superman. I would watch Lois and Clark. I would watch all these shows.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, don't they know that he just has glasses on? Like that.
It's just glasses.
As a young child, like I'm talking about like six, that bugged the crap out of me. And I am up to, what is it? Something in your disbelief, but
yeah, suspension of disbelief.
I'm up to suspending my disbelief in a lot of things, right? I always say like, oh, you just have to add the one line. Well, we invented the one thing. Now we can smoke in space, right? From thank you for not smoking. I don't get the glasses thing and she's all that. And in Superman, like it drives me. That is one of the, like the biggest pet peeves that I like doesn't hit my reality very often, but it drives me freaking nuts.
You know, it's funny because I never bumped on that. I was never like, huh. But like now, obviously, you know, it's kind of obvious, but even the fact that they're all working in a newspaper, these are journalists trained to look very closely at things and see beyond the arbitrage that
if one of my coworkers that I was in the newsroom with 40 hours a week, every week, probably more because of how that job works.
Yeah.
Took off their glasses and then put on a cape and spandex. I'd be like, Bob from accounting, what's going on here? Why are
that's
you
Bob.
Jumping off buildings?
Isn't that Bob? Don't we all agree that's Bob? Yeah, you're not wrong. I like a version of that show where it's just like two episodes because they figure out Clark Kent real fast. And they're like, that's Superman. Oh my gosh, that's totally Clark is Superman. I think we put that together, you know.
Can I ask you a question about Survivor real quick?
Hmm.
Have they ever had a reward where it was like a shower and a shave and a haircut, like a makeover?
Yeah, I think they have had like spa days like at the sanctuary. It hasn't like been the sanctuary, but they're like, you're going to get a night in a hotel down the road and a spa treatment and everything, which I think that's good.
I want to like bring the Queer Eye guys over to this show.
Yeah.
And like one of the rewards is you just get a full wardrobe, lifestyle, everything makeover within the episode.
You don't get to take it with you. It's all wardrobe and lifestyle for the island.
Yeah, right. That's what exactly. Now they're
closet.
You're running around in gowns. You've got like cocktail dresses. You've got full suits. You've got a tux.
Yep.
You've got a lot of denim. I can't think of the word.
Anyways, no, I love that. I love like the wrinkle that throws in the game of people starting to resent. Like he has rice dinner gloves, and it's really kind of throwing a wrench in the dynamic of the tribe.
Just a super shaped up beard, you know.
Yeah.
I just think that would be fun. Just a note.
Just consider it, you know? Okay. Final three. Who are you picking for the final three? And I ask you for that because, I guess I buried the lead. We're going to be recapping, this season again, like we did last time. It's going to be go to noxcore.com and you can, support us at the monthly or yearly level. And then we're just going to drop these recaps onto your, podcast feed, that you get when you sign up. I think we're going to record Friday morning. So it'll be up, you know, no later than Friday afternoons. And we're going to start tracking like who we think final three is for no reason, just because it's fun to do that. So, who are you thinking right now?
All right. I'm going with Kenzie. I'm going with Charlie and I'm going with Soda.
Okay. I'm going to go Jess Chong, Kenzie Petty, and I'm going to go, Randon. I don't know Randon's last name, but I liked his vibe. Aerospace, smart, empathetic, good with people. I feel good about that. Do you think over under Showmances, 0.5 this season.
I got to go under. It's been back-to-back seasons. I don't think we're going to find love this season, unfortunately. Maybe during the spa day, maybe Q and Venus, maybe they shared the same pair of glasses. I don't know how that works, but you know, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go under. Are you going for three straight seasons of romance?
I think it's going to be one person thinks it's a showmance. The other person is very upfront that this is not a showmance. Because even Dee and Austin, it was a showmance, right?
Yes.
They were both aligned. Dee just made some smarter decisions. I think someone's going to play another person into a showmance.
That is the move this season after what's gone on the last couple seasons. I agree.
I agree.
That's going to make somebody a villain.
Oh, big time. But I respect it. I love it. Yeah. I want that instead of a showmance, actually. You know? Okay, so again, we're going to be recapping that. So make sure you go to noxpcore.com and follow support so you can get those updates. Let's go ahead, Jason, go Cameo Close to the Pin. And I feel like we have talked a lot of Survivor. We've even talked about Parvati. We've even talked about Traitors, the show she is on. So I felt like it would only be right to guess her cameo price for this week's round.
This is a hard one.
This is very difficult because she's a big deal. She's pretty... She is. I think she's a big deal in the world of Survivor.
Yes.
And she's actively on TV right now, which changes the metric a little bit.
It's Peacock.
How dare you disparage Peacock and Traitors and Alan Cumming?
Or am I just getting in your mind about it?
Okay. I've got mine. And I want you to think of what you would have guessed if she was not actively on TV.
My number is 199.
Oh, interesting. I'm 201.
Oh, there is one number in between. Okay, so we had the same mindset, and this is exactly why I was doing what I was doing, is that I wanted you to go higher, and this couldn't have worked out better for me. I don't know what the number is yet, but this could not have worked out better than what my plan was. And if she was not on the Traitors right now, I think the number is exactly the same. I think that's the person that we're dealing with here.
If she's not on TV, I would have guessed 150. That would have been my number. But I'll be surprised if it's not above 201, because she's someone who knows her value and is very upfront about that. So I'll be interested to see, unless she's like doing it for charity, and then that's, you know, or for Randy Travis, and then I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is complicated now, because, you know, does she know about Randy? You know,
give 51% of her money to Randy Travis.
The funny thing is, I don't even know if Randy Travis did anything. So I guess I also need to apologize if he didn't do anything, because we've kind of low key disparaged him. So
first of all, disavow if he did. But proactive apology if he didn't.
Disavow us for disavowing if he didn't.
No. We never disavow ourselves because we're proactive.
Okay, that's right. I agree with that. All right, so Parvati Shallow, you can have a message.
Her last name is Shallow?
Yeah, Parvati Shallow.
Wow.
That's right. Man, this is annoying because
yes.
Her number is 150. So I think I deserve.
Do you see that? Do you see the mind games I'm bringing to this season of Survivor?
I'm gonna take 0.75 for me because I did get an if.
No, that almost cost me big time.
Oh man, she's got 4.98 stars, 301 reviews. I feel like a lot of lonely Survivor guys are probably getting cameos from her. You know, and this runtime is like. I've got a 26 second. I've got 143, 159, 215. We're starting to get in the vlog territory. So, yeah. Congratulations to you, I guess. Congratulations.
One to one. I had to do something. I couldn't let this get to 2-0.
Got to change the game. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the Over Under Achievers. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagramming, or just talking about it loud around other people you know. I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.